The following podcast is sponsored by SuperheroStuff.com.
And we do encourage you to check out SuperheroStuff.com. We do appreciate their support for this show. Welcome, everyone. Another episode of H2O. Jason Hunt here along with Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And we are waiting. a couple of weeks ago, we started asking for fan feedback, audience feedback, and we're getting that coming in to the hotline, to the email, h2o@scifivefromme.com. And we put out the challenge earlier in the week to send us your Stump the Host questions. And we want to make sure that we've got enough of those that we can do a good length show, normal length show. So we're gonna wait on that for a little bit because we're getting a few in, just not quite enough.
We'd be done.
So h2o@scifivefromme.com. We want you to send us your questions, and it could be kind of a Stump the Host thing if you want, or it could just be, hey, what do you guys think about fill in the blank. So. This week, so we're sitting around here trying to figure out what to talk about.
Like we do. Some days it's some weeks it's easy. Some week it's like, oh, look, we've been given a gift.
Because Heather and I, Heather French, who produces the Sci-Fi for Chicks podcast most of the time, she and I were talking about it one time, and she said, it's just so easy for you guys. And you're right. Some weeks it is. Some weeks we kind of sit there and scratch our heads for about half an hour. And I'm like, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about? It's like it's like the old Life cereal commercial. I'm not going to try it. You try it. I'm not going to try it. But we ran across something on MoviePilot.com, and apparently this is not where this originated.
No, I can't remember where I saw it. It wasn't MoviePilot.
Yeah, and it's making the rounds on the internet right now, and we're going to talk about it in depth on Rogues Gallery here sometime soon. But the theory, there is a fan theory out there now.
At least a fan.
And the theory goes that Man of Steel in the current DC Cinematic Universe has connections, is in the same universe as Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, which everybody up until now has said is not actually the case.
Right. Even though Nolan is producing.
Yes. And the assumption really was at the beginning when Nolan came on board that somehow there was going to be some kind of a connection. It's an easy assumption to make.
Sure.
So this this current theory, it kind of dovetails in from an earlier theory that Jared Leto's Joker was a Robin at one point. And that theory has been around for a while.
Right, which originally comes out of the
you got the two tattoos and the bullet holes in Leto in the Joker, and then the bullet holes correspond in Robin's costume that we see in the trailer.
But in terms of this is not something that originates with this movie. This is something that was done in the Dark Knight, the second Dark Knight series.
And the animated in Batman Beyond.
Right. Well, actually, in Batman Beyond, because Frank Miller has gone off the rails. Sorry, Frank, your early work is genius. Your later work is terrible. And there's going to be a third series. Why?
Yeah. Well, everybody seems excited about it. In the industry, at least.
Well, yeah. When he gets it right, he gets it right. But his Sin City stuff still holds up, and his Sin City stuff is still very interesting. But that's noir, and it's as much as I love film noir, it has a formula.
Mm-hmm.
Batman is not specific. I mean, Batman has a formula to a point.
Yeah.
But anyway, in the second Dark Knight series, Robin is one of the villains. And because he's crazy, because Batman in the dark in the Miller universe is a terrible person, and he basically belittles him to the point that he's just like, I hate you, Dad, and becomes the bad guy. The animated series, Batman Beyond, handled it in a much more chilling and tragic way, as far as I'm sure. I think the writing was extremely good.
Yeah, very dark. They went places you did not expect a cartoon to go.
Yeah, but but they also did it well. Yeah. And then I think that made the difference. So it would almost be, considering how much we were questioning Nolan, Snyder in the early days talking about Batman v Superman, the implication that we all seem to get from what he was saying, and of course he's clarified this a number of times since then. More recently, but in the last week, he's made a point about saying this is not an adaptation of Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
And
even though it's clearly heavily influenced by it.
Well, you can. I think being influenced and being inspired, it looks more than anything, it looks more like a visual aesthetic.
Right.
Because in terms of what we know about the plot at this point, it's not. But it has, you can see how it could be connected in thematically, I guess.
Yeah.
Except ultimately, of course, the first Dark Knight series was about finding your place in the world and bringing down the corrupt government. Slightly different plot line. But so anyway, you could see how these things would be connected, and you can see how that, And Jared Leto's Joker was so dramatically different visually than what we were expecting. But I also personally have the theory that so much of what we see of him so far is going to completely disappear by the end of the movie. This is my own personal pet fan theory, is that the Joker is going to be a chameleon. By the time, because I mean, everything that we've seen of him so far, I'm just going, but I can just kind of see him at the end of the film just walking off, and we see him, and he's wiped all the tattoos off, and he's put himself in a very nice suit. And, just like, because, I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. But you can see how this fan theory would kind of get people like, okay, sure, yeah.
Well, in that particular one, I can buy that one, maybe. I mean, Snyder's off the rails enough that I wouldn't put it past him to try to do something like that. I mean, not saying it would work, but I wouldn't put it past the team that's currently in charge. But to build on that,
yeah,
apparently there's a rather lengthy document that I have not read yet. You've read the whole thing?
I've read the whole thing. It is.
It's a fascinating theory on the face of it.
Oh, sure. But here's the thing. It's kind of like,
I guess we should say what it is.
Right. Oh, yes. So
spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers for something that is not actually a spoiler for anything.
Right.
Okay. In an alternate universe, this is the truth. However, I can almost guarantee you I'm going to go with 99.9999% probability.
Yeah.
That this is not, in fact, the case.
But the theory is that Ben Affleck is not playing Bruce Wayne.
Right.
He is Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But he is Slade Wilson as Batman.
Right, and of course, yeah.
Slade Wilson's Deathstroke, whom we saw as a villain on Arrow, but who has pretended to be Batman in The Outsider.
Sure.
Which is not the Suicide Squad, but it's a close cousin of the Suicide Squad.
Sure, yeah.
The parallels that are drawn, the fact that he's got a butler. And he's got the skills. He's got the skill set.
Well, because Deathstroke in some ways is the villainous Batman.
Right. With a sword.
To a degree.
And the
if
theory...
If you squint at just the right angle and sort of wave your hand in front of your eyes.
Well, and the theory goes on to posit that Jared Leto's Joker is actually a former Robin.
Sure.
But is the Robin played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt in The Dark Knight Rises, which is the last of the three Nolan films.
Yes.
Basically, something somewhere.
Drove him crazy.
Drove him crazy, and he became the next Joker. Mm-hmm. He became the second Joker. Mm-hmm. And of course, we've heard the you know, there are multiple Jokers theory before.
Sure.
And they're even kicking around a little bit of that on Gotham right now with, you know, because Jerome's dead.
Right.
Who's going to be the next Joker type of thing.
But no one is looking for Gotham for plotline help.
No, no, no. But I'm just saying, it's not a new thing for to be talking about.
Of course.
You know, somebody else becomes Joker after the Joker.
Well, and picking up the mantle is actually a comic book trope.
You know, it's a normal thing. But the idea here then is that Ben Affleck is Slade Wilson's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Bale is Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get two Batman.
Right, because the showing the bat, turning on the bat symbol, we think it's like to draw Superman, but it's actually he's drawing the real bat, the original Batman back with that.
Yeah.
yeah. So,
I read it, and it makes a certain amount of sense.
Except
if you look at it a certain way.
Except if you read the entire document.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, at the risk of alienating a potential listener, because I'm going to go about it and say it.
We don't have a particular listener.
No,
in mind.
No. I'm just saying that we attract everybody. We are entertaining to the point that just about any kind of person would want to listen to us. But if you believe the moon landing was faked, it's that kind of mental logic.
Wow.
I
have to admit, I've not read the document.
Diagrams. There are arrows pointing that he's put on the footage.
Right, I've seen some of those.
And it's connecting things that are connectable if you make them or want them to be, but they're not naturally connectable. It's kind of like saying the shadows on the moon are wrong, therefore it was shot in a studio.
Right.
And you're looking at it going, no, that's crazy talk. And so I'm sorry, if you currently are denying the evidence of the moon landing, why are you listening to a show on scififorme.com?
My great uncle didn't believe we ever went to the moon. My grandmother, on my mother's side, my grandmother's older brother. I mean, he's well on in years.
Yeah.
Never believed that we went to the moon. I actually knew somebody, Grand Uncle Ray, never believed we went to the moon.
I don't think.
And I looked at him and I was like, how can you not? But then, you know, you sit there and you wonder how they can not believe any of this. But then this is the generation that didn't have television. You know,
yeah,
it's
true.
That older crowd that, you know, the older generation that, you know, didn't have cars, didn't have TV, didn't have radio.
Right.
None of that existed. So when television came out, this is all made up stuff.
Well, it's literally science fiction.
I can see somebody in that generation having a tough time believing anything they see on TV.
Right.
Despite the fact that you have news programs on TV. But it's like now, it's everything's on the internet. If it's on the internet, it's true. You know, it's just the opposite. It's, you know, back then nobody believed anything was true. Now everybody believes everything is true.
Well, okay, this is, and I think the other equivalent for the folks who have a hard time getting their brain around the moon landing being something you can't believe in, ancient astronauts, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the pyramids.
Okay, and that there is a TV show out there called Ancient Aliens or whatever it's called.
Wasn't it on Discovery for a while?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Discovery. Okay.
Which used to be a science channel. It kind of is now. They're going back to, they're trying to get back to that.
Yeah, well, the new guy, you know, of course, remember the History Channel when the History Channel was, you know, for a while, the History Channel was the World War II channel.
Yeah.
And that was kind of okay. But then it got, also remember the Learning Channel was, TLC was the Learning Channel.
Yeah.
Anyway. But, so you got these things where it's like, you listen to these folks talk, and you're like, okay, but for what you say to be true, then I kind of have to ignore all this other evidence.
Right.
Of like, you know, rational things.
And some fan theories do that same kind of thing with the mental gymnastics. But some of them are pretty right on there.
Okay,
but this Batman 5, you know, I've been calling it Batman 5 Superman this whole time.
Exactly. And that's part of their theory
it's
as well.
It's a Roman numeral because it's the fifth one in the Nolanverse. Right. If you count from Batman Begins. And then Dark Knight Rises is 3, sure. The Man of Steel's 4, so Batman 5 Superman. Right. There it is. See, I've been right this whole time. I didn't even know it.
Congratulations. Thank you. Crazy people agree with you.
I'll go get myself a cookie later.
Well, so, but, you know, on one, okay, fan enthusiasm. You know what? Great. That's absolutely wonderful. But this is kind of, this is rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you have to admire the connections this person has made. They have managed to make this stuff link up. They found the connections. They've poured through this to find the different ways that it links together. And at the same time, it's just really amazing. I think when I was reading through it, the thing that kind of tripped me up, and I for the most part, I was just staring at it going, wow. But they get to the end of it, and they basically say that Deathstroke is kind of like the most highly regarded DC character. And I was like, wait, what? And I went back and read it a few times, and it's like, now some of it I think actually is a translation issue.
Oh yeah, okay, I can see that.
Because English is not actually the original language it's written in. I do not believe, or at least not their language it was written in, or at least their original speaking language. But let me see if I can find it because it is pretty amazing. But the and I mean, there's diagrams and connections, and it is pretty. It is so really truly detailed. You just want to. You want to give him an award.
Yeah.
Because it's so detailed.
Well, and that's not the only crazy fan theory that's out there.
No, it just happens to be the one where that's the
theory du jour.
And the level of it is, and the certainty that they have developed this in, and that actually is a that's a side effect of any of these theories. There's always a certainty, and there's until you have the there's this. It doesn't matter what evidence you have provided to convince them otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It is the, you know, it's like, oh, well, no, clearly this is what it is. And it's like, well, no, that's not actually the, I would have to scroll through this line by line to find it again. But basically, it's assigning Deathstroke a level of importance in the DC universe that just doesn't actually exist so much.
Right.
Deathstroke is a really cool character. I think there's a no question that he's a neat character, and there's a reason that he's they used him in Arrow, because of course Arrow is Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some other fan theories that are out there,
mm-hmm.
because that for those of you who are wondering, our topic tonight is Crazy Fan Theories.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting to find these because there are so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, with Star Wars coming out, there's fan speculation there about Luke Skywalker as Kylo Ren. The reason we didn't see Luke Skywalker in the trailer is because he's really the bad guy.
Oh, yes. Did you see the one where the end of Empire Strikes, or Return of the Jedi, gave it away? That we now saw that he embraced the dark side in the final moments of Return of the Jedi.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I missed that one.
Oh, yeah. That's actually fairly new.
Well, see, because I saw the article detailing, apparently a while back, and I don't know when this was, J.J. Abrams and Mark Hamill apparently had a conversation they were on a show together.
Mm-hmm.
And Hamill had this theory that at some point, and I guess this goes back to the Dark Empire comic book,
mm-hmm.
where in order to become a better Jedi, a more complete Jedi, and learn things that he didn't learn from Obi-Wan or Yoda, he ended up going to the dark side for a while. And, you know, of course, with Dark Empire, we know he came back.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are sitting out there thinking that the reason we haven't seen Luke is because he's gone full bore dark side and is ultimately going to be proven to be the villain because of this conversation that he had with J.J. Abrams who knows how long ago.
Right.
Before J.J. was even part of this thing. And I could maybe see something like that happening if it was any other character but Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Because his arc in those three films, the only three films that matter, was such that you knew at the end of it he would never go to the dark side.
Right.
Just because, I mean, you just couldn't go there after what he'd been through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the resolution of that arc, because he sit there and goes, I will never turn to the dark side. I'm a Jedi like my father. Throws away his lightsaber. Mm-hmm. He's done.
Right.
There's no way that he would turn to the dark side, at least not permanently.
And yet, this is exactly what these theories have popped up. And on one level, I read through this theory where it's like, he's like, oh, well, the Return of the Jedi clearly shows him embracing the dark side at the end. And I'm watching this going, okay, this actually kind of makes a certain amount of sense if you really could believe that George Lucas, at the end of the trilogy of Star Wars films, the end, because it was the end.
Right.
There was, you know, the prequels, the new movies, these are things that were not actually going to happen at the time. You have to believe that he was going to sit there and go, I'm going to make the hero the villain, and I'm not going to tell the audience. But it was, you know, the argument goes, he's staring at the core of the argument is he's staring at his hand after, of course, he's cut off Vader's hand.
Right.
He's staring at the hand. And he's like, I have the power now. I can see that the mechanical hand gives, you know, I have more power with this. And he's upset not that his father died, but that because they can't rule the universe together as father and son. And I'm going, okay, you're connecting A to B to Q. and
with a detour through 10.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of these theories are, while very admittedly, some of them are really interesting. You have to try so hard. Occam's razor is a thing, and it's a thing for a reason. And it's an Occam's razor in storytelling, actually, is kind of a thing as well. You can make something very, very convoluted and very, very complex and very confusing.
Yeah.
And tell a really great story doing it. But most movies are not going to do that, because you only have an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to tell a story. And you just can't sit there and go, hey, I'm just going to make it. Well, you can. Okay. And there have been movies that have done it. It's like, this film actually makes no sense whatsoever. It's completely illogical.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I mean, some fan theories are just, okay. The fan theory that says James Bond is a code name.
Well, that's been around for a while.
I know. Well, I know, but I mean, it actually fits the reality of the movies. You look at the films and go, well, clearly multiple actors have played the part, so they're, hey. Not to mention you had Casino Royale, the first one, not the Daniel Craig one, but the David Niven, Peter Sellers, Woody Allen one, where it literally is a code name.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a comedy that you either get or don't get at all. And you either think the film is very funny or you think it's like this. Why am I watching this? What are you doing to me?
Do you see the theory that The Walking Dead is Toy Story? Have you seen this one? The hero is a sheriff.
Yeah.
He's the occasionally grumpy leader of a group of misfits. Has a kid he loves more than life itself. They discover an idyllic gated community.
Mm-hmm.
They're welcomed with open arms by a kindly leader. That's kind of funny. Yeah, here's the James Bond's code name. Mm-hmm. The one I saw the other day that Aladdin actually takes place in the future.
Oh.
And it actually makes a certain amount of sense if you squint at it, because the basic crux of the core of the theory is that when the genie comes out and notices Aladdin's attire, his wardrobe, says, oh, it's so third century. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when he actually gets released from the lamp, he says, 10,000 years can give you such a crick in the neck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if he's been in that lamp for 10,000 years and recognizes Aladdin's wardrobe as third century, then that puts him at AD, at least AD 10,300.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're sitting here in 2015.
Right.
So the theory, the argument is that, you know, well, 10,000 years from the third century is going to be at least 10,000 AD.
Well, you did see that the fan theory that the merchant and the genie are the same person was confirmed.
It was confirmed, right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. And it actually was in the script.
Mm-hmm.
There is a reveal that didn't make it into the final cut of the movie.
Right.
But was in the script that at the end they would show that the genie and the merchant at the beginning was the same guy. I always figured it was because it was Robin Williams doing the voice.
Right. And
you'd think, hey, he's telling, it's a nudge, sure. wink. I know more than I'm telling.
Well, and that's another kind of reveal of the storyteller being part of the story.
Yeah.
And that's an old storytelling trick, and in a cool way.
Jared Leto's Joker is actually Jason Todd. That's another bat theory.
See, if you're gonna make the Joker a Jason, make the Joker a Robin, then Jason Todd fits better than Dick Grayson ever did, and that was kind of the problem with Frank Miller's approach there in making, because Dick Grayson, there's a reason that Crisis on Infinite Earths, they were going to kill off Dick Grayson, because of the impact it would have had across fans, across the DC character universe, would have been gigantic. Because Dick Grayson is kind of the core. New 52, not so much. But, I mean, for decades, Dick Grayson was kind of the heart.
Yeah. He's the conscience of the team, basically. Yeah,
and he's just an immensely popular character and has been for ages.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the reasons that Jason Todd was so unpopular, was he wasn't Dick Grayson.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So I could, Jason Todd maybe better.
There's a few more in here that are interesting to look at, and we can do that here after the break. We'll let you hear from superherostuff.com. We're going to go get more coffee in our coffee mugs. And if you've got a fan theory that you like, that you have a favorite, if you've got a favorite crazy fan theory, don't forget, you can call in our hotline, 573-42-SCI-FI. Leave us an email at h2o@scififorme.com. And we will be back on the other side of the break talking more crazy fan theories when H2O continues.
You're listening to H2O on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Where can you get Age of Ultron stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Justice League stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Doctor Who stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Daredevil stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
New items being added all the time. Get your superhero stuff at SuperheroStuff.com. Plus, the Hero Box is back. $70 worth of superhero stuff for only $49. SuperheroStuff.com, where heroes shop.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and so is our discussion of each and every episode as we gather down in the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters. Join us for recaps, analysis, and discussion, with a few digressions along the way, and you do have security clearance to listen. Level 117 every week, part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, only on scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
You want a multiverse? We've got them all. Get the latest news at scififorme.com.
Commissioner Gordon is dead, having been presumably killed by the Joker. What if Gordon just died of old age? And Alfred, or Bruce Wayne, is now an old Batman passing on his wisdom, equipment, and skills to a younger man.
So the theory is that Alfred, Jeremy Irons, is playing Bruce Wayne, not Alfred.
Well,
and
he's playing...
Ben Affleck is...
So no, but Ben Affleck would be Bruce Wayne, but he would not be the first Bruce Wayne.
Well, sure.
Because Bruce Wayne would be...
A code name like James Bond. We are talking crazy fan theories here on H2O.
Although it does make me think that Jeremy Irons, when to get Batman Beyond.
Oh yeah,
you could put Jeremy Irons in that.
You could totally do that. That would totally work.
Because you could to get that kind of. I mean, if you're not going to have, I mean, you kind of almost want to dub his voice just because it was Kevin Conroy.
So during the break, I checked our Pinterest. Mm-hmm. Boards. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you who are interested in cosplay, our Pinterest boards are all cosplay all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to pinterest.com/scififorme and all of our stuff. This is a really good Captain America. I mean,
it's
really, really, really solid. Yeah, you know, and I go through and take a couple of minutes and just go through all this stuff.
Mm-hmm, sure.
There's just some amazing cosplay work out there.
Oh yeah,
just fascinating. I'm sitting there.
We
thinking,
know some great cosplay people, but it's
And every time I see this, I'm like, how do they find the time to do this? I don't have time to do this stuff. I've got. We talked about it a while back. My landlord got me a Jedi robe.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. And I've got pieces of a Jedi costume from earlier when we were doing Comic Con Carne.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to put it together for Halloween. Where do these people find the time to do this stuff? That's dedication. I admire them for their fervor. Here's a fan theory. You might appreciate this one. The Magic School Bus Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Become the Captain Planet kids. Have you heard of this?
Well, see, I feel bad about that.
There's a photograph.
I had much greater hopes for the Magic School Bus kids than to become the Captain Planet
well,
kids.
Well, there's a photograph that juxtaposes the two teams. You know, the kids from the Magic School Bus and the Captain Planet, the Planeteers.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally works. They look, I mean, they really do look like grown-up versions of the Magic School Bus Kids.
Of course, we could also sit there and say that animation styles of a certain time period and character designs of a certain time period were...
Yeah, but these weren't the same production companies, I don't think, that did the show,
did they? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's that they knew exactly what they were doing in terms of marketing these things.
Yeah. Harry Potter is a Horcrux.
I've seen that theory, yeah.
Yeah, Harry Potter's a Horcrux. Now, some of these theories are not totally, completely, outlandishly crazy.
No, I think we need to make a distinction between speculation and fan theory.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the stuff we're seeing for Superman versus Batman or Star Wars or the next Star Trek movie is speculation. You have a tiny piece of information and you sit there and go, well, does that mean this, right? And that's perfectly understandable and perfectly normal. And we do that all the time. But you get these things like, you know, well, we haven't seen Luke Skywalker because he's evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy, he's like, no, that's not speculation. And then, of course, you back it up with all the, you know, these, you know, all this data. You found the connecting pieces to make it all work.
Yeah. Or the Rugrats. You seen the Rugrats theory?
No.
That the Rugrats theory is that all of the babies.
Oh God! Yes,
were Angelica's imagination at play.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That either they were all dead or never existed or whatever. That Angelica made them all up.
Mm-hmm.
That's dark.
Grim. Yeah, that's really grim.
Very. SpongeBob SquarePants and his friends are the result of radioactivity. They're mutants.
Well, of course. It's Godzilla's over the next reef. And, you know.
Now, this is the one we've talked about this one before on Level 117. Stan Lee cameos in all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies are him as Uatu in the human form, Watcher. The Watcher. I like this theory.
Well,
I think it would be fun if that played out. I don't see how it could.
But see, here's the thing about that kind of fan theory is that it doesn't actually have an impact. It's just fun. It adds to it without dramatically changing characters.
Right.
And some of these fan theories, like the Batman versus Superman one or the Star Wars one, you have to fundamentally change characters. You know, you have to fundamentally believe that in 63, 63, you have to fundamentally believe that for about 50 years, everyone involved in not going to the moon covered it up completely, despite what we know about human nature and the ability for someone to not keep their mouth shut. I mean, you have to accept these things or just, you know, completely go against whether it's human nature or the reality of the character. To believe that they would give us a Batman character, it's like, oh, but wait, it's not Batman, it's Slade Wilson. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, or and Luke has become the new emperor. What? Wait, what?
here's one you'll appreciate. The Walking Dead and Breaking Bad are in the same universe. Walt's meth caused the zombie outbreak.
That's the same Elsewhere theory. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't change. But at the same time, you get people going too far. The Sleepy Hollow Bones crossover.
Oh yeah.
Okay. It's like the Alphas Warehouse 13 crossover.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who remember, Alphas was a show on Sci-Fi, lasted for 2 seasons, and much missed by those of us who were kind of really
who appreciate real science fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, sometimes that stuff doesn't fit. I mean, it's kind of like the tone is wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of disappointed to hear that.
I like the theory that all of the Pixar movies are in the same universe.
Oh, see, I like that as well.
I mean, it's a crazy fan theory, but it works. It's a fan theory that actually makes sense because all the clues that are in there.
Well, okay. The Matrix that Zion is part of the Matrix. That nobody ever leaves the Matrix.
Yeah.
That Neo never left the Matrix. There is the real world is just not something that we ever saw. That's a fan theory, and if you look at the internal logic of the films, you know, in the third. Matrix movie. Yes, folks, there were actually three Matrix movies. It's mm-hmm. hard to remember the third one. Not much happened except things went boom. You know, he's exhibiting powers that shouldn't be able to do in the real world, but if he was still in the Matrix, it makes sense. No. So, I mean, so you can get those kind of fan theories where nothing is, you're not contradicting anything you've actually seen or experienced in terms of the thing. You just, it's like, but there's this extra level of information. You know, what's a Neville Longbottom being the real hero of the Harry Potter books?
Right.
It doesn't actually contradict anything you've seen. It just happens to be, oh, but wait. Harry's the decoy.
He's like, oh. Max in Fury Road is actually Feral Kid.
That doesn't actually...
From Mad Max 2.
That doesn't actually bother me much, except my personal fan theory for the Mad Max movies, it's that they're all stories being told about Max. Because if you cannot stare directly, at the timeline of the Mad Max movies.
Mm-hmm,
it doesn't right. make sense.
Right.
And I think he's actually come out and said...
These are just Mad Max tales.
These are the stories. These are the stories told about him.
The legend of Mad
Max. Yeah. Because if you also look at the character evolution, it's kind of a very curious character evolution. It's not like a natural progression of storytelling. So, and I like that idea. I have no problems whatsoever with the idea of this. We're all just getting the tales of the mysterious wonder we called Max. You
know, here's a fun one. Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. Just came out. It's just out on DVD and Blu-ray now.
Right.
Yeah. That's not a plug because they don't pay for it. Chris Pratt plays a character named Owen Grady.
Mm-hmm.
He has a thing with raptors.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to deal with raptors. The theory is that Owen Grady is the kid from Jurassic Park. Not the two kids that were in Jurassic Park, but at the very beginning at the dig site when Dr. Alan Grant is explaining how raptors hunted in packs. Oh. And he has the raptor claw. And you got the kid who's just kind of, whatever, right?
Right.
And Grant, you know, uses the claw to demonstrate how the raptor and stuff. And the theory is... that they're the same character. That kid was so impressed, and Grant's explanation had such an impact that he ended up becoming a raptor expert. And is now in Jurassic World, saving the day.
That's nothing inherently wrong with that theory. But again, it doesn't take anything away from what you've seen. So many of these things, you have to twist yourself into such a pretzel.
Yeah.
What's the
craziest theory that you've ever heard? Fan theory. Well, that could be pretty broad.
I was gonna say,
but in genre, I guess let's say craziest fan theory you've ever heard.
Oh well, there's a current one running around over on Doctor Who.
Oh which yeah.
There's two actually. One is that. Peter Capaldi is not actually the Doctor.
Oh?
Yeah.
This I've not seen.
Yes, see that Claire is the actual Doctor. I mean, this is literally, and I can't remember the core of the theory, but it was kind of like, right. Oh, well, I think that spun out of the fact that everything that happens in this season is a dream crab dream. From the Christmas special.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh, sure.
And then there was the Clara is a Zygon, which only exists because the Zygons are coming back in the next two episodes.
Right.
And I'm thinking we're actually going to get a Zygon Clara in there because there's a shot in the trailer where Clara's got a missile launcher. And it seems a lot. She's gotten a little extreme with her time with the Doctor, but not so much as she's shooting shoulder-mounted missiles.
Do you think that's Zygon Clara?
I think Clara? It's a Zygon Clara.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that's my personal pick.
I think that's how we're going to get Osgood back.
Oh, yeah. Well, the question...
We're going to get Zygon Osgood.
There's some interesting speculation on where that's going to go. But Clara is actually the Doctor.
Wouldn't that be fun, though, for the Doctor to have an alien companion again?
Yeah, it actually would.
How long has it been?
Turlough? Fifth Doctor? Because everybody else has been human.
Wow.
And from 20th century Earth, for the most part. Because,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because Ace was 80s, Mel, Tegan, Perry. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're all 20th centuries.
Yeah.
No Victorias, no Jamies.
I would have loved to have Victorian era Clara.
Oh, sure.
As the companion.
Oh, sure.
She was so much fun.
Well, and I think that's one of the things I think bothered a lot of folks about her character when that character was so full of energy. Mm. And life, and when you'd had the Dalek Asylum,
right?
So, and then to have Clara, modern Clara, first appeared in many ways to be so ordinary, mm-hmm. it bothered a lot of fans. But, we come back to the difference between speculation and a fan theory, because of course there was a lot of speculation on how the Master would have survived. Or Missy would have survived.
Right.
And to some degree, the writers trolled, Moffat trolled the audience at the end going, it doesn't matter. It's not the point.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, they lampshaded that.
Oh, of course.
It's yes, no, not dead. No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right. And there's a certain amount of looking right at the audience and going, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's not the important thing.
Speaking of the Master,
mm-hmm.
I've noticed... a bump in the traffic on our website for a particular article early in the year. I think it was maybe April or May. I can't remember when it was. BuzzFeed had a story.
Was that even this year?
I think it was. So BuzzFeed ran a story on what if Doctor Who had been an American production instead of BBC.
Uh-huh.
And they had gone through their list of their 11... American actors that corresponded with the British actors for the show.
Sure.
And so we took it a step further and we said, okay, all right, yeah, we'll do you one better. And we came up with American actor. We came up with equivalent actors for all of the companions.
Right.
Most of the companions.
A significant chunk. Yeah. A pretty.
All the dominant. You know, the mm-hmm. predominant companions. And it was a good list.
It was a good list.
Yeah, I was very proud of that list. You and Dustin and I would speculate back and forth mm-hmm. and kicked some stuff around. And I even did the poster art.
I know.
For all of them. They ran on NBC and everything. You can still find that. But somehow that article is finding eyeballs again. And I'm reminded that we never did go back and do our American Master list.
This is true.
So we need to do that.
We do.
Yes. And, talk about crazy fan theories. I mean, really, Tony Shalhoub as Seven
mm-hmm.
and Shannon Doherty as Ace.
Right.
I mean, come on. Nicolas Cage as Nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, although I do like Harrison Ford as the War Doctor.
Well, you know what? Somebody, I saw somebody on some site saying that they kind of wish that Nicolas Cage had been cast as the next Joker. Because he already played that character in Face Off.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, okay, do it. I could see your argument there.
Samurai Jack and the Powerpuff Girls are in the same universe.
Yes. That's not a theory. That's just the truth.
Tarzan's Jane
mm-hmm.
is descended from Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Well, in, at least in the animated one.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But, well, Spock is descended from Sherlock Holmes.
That's not a crazy fan theory. That's canon. That's canon.
I know. But you know what other crazy fan theory is? He's also descended from, his mother is descended from Dick Grayson. It's Amanda Grayson.
Sure. Sure. I can buy that one.
The Wold Newton universe.
I was just about to mention that.
Yeah,
the Wold. That is such a fascinating rabbit. It is. And you talk about a rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you go. Yeah. If you go to the Wold Newton website.
We will link to it. Let's link to it.
Because it is hours of entertainment. And this is written by.
You've only spent hours in there?
Well, I didn't say how many hours. It's lots and lots of them.
4,722 hours,
something like that. Yeah, because it connects. It basically, the basic premise is that there was a series of meteor strikes, essentially, that ultimately linked several families, and all of the heroes of literature, not all, but a significant chunk of the heroes of literature and radio and TV and the pulps and the movies and the comic books all connect to these families. And so you can sit there and the connections that we already knew about between, say, the Lone Ranger and Green Hornet.
Right.
Okay. They are connected. They are connected. That's canon that these are a connected family.
Because they are, because the writers made it that way.
Exactly. Yep. But also, you would sit there and, you know, have, the different versions of Moriarty, the different James Moriartys, because there's four.
Right.
And explain how that could be and how he's connected to Henry Jekyll by blood. There's a bloodline involved. And all this stuff, it's so cool.
Yeah. And James Bond is connected to Batman, is connected to Jim Kirk,
because it runs it into the future. It explains how you can have the Founders in Star Trek and Time Lords in Doctor Who, and how they all can inhabit the same universe.
Is there is Star Wars included in any of all of that?
I want to say there's at least one article that connects Star Wars to it, but
I'd have to go back and look, because it's been a while since I've been
because,
on the site.
Because a lot of that stuff steps away from Earthbound and the connection to the families. Because, I mean, they will take it all the way up to Kryptonians and Time Lords being related, and Krypton is actually Earth, but from the future, and it's just the whole thing is – it becomes – it's – And they so
is the magic school bus connection.
I'm sure it is. And they had just they clearly had just a lot of fun doing it. But it's, you know, this is play. This isn't you know.
And it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's still people continue to add to
it. Sure. And the whole thing came out of Doc Savage's Apocalyptic Life, which was a fictional biography of Doc Savage, and then there was the fictional biography of Tarzan. What was the name of that one? I'll have to look that one up. But so it was basically the it was, you know, treating these fictional characters as if they were real, and so it was a real biography, and it just sort of expanded because it really worked. It very entertained everyone around who was reading it. So it became it's sort of a group project. It's a fan project building
kind of like Wikipedia.
Except it's Wikipedia for fiction. You know, it's Wikipedia for genre fiction. And there's a whole section on the
Tarzan Alive.
There we go.
Yeah, by Philip Jose Farmer,
Who also brought us such great books as the Riverworld series.
Didn't he start the whole Wold Newton thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Farmer did.
Yeah. But there's a great we've talked about superheroes to some degree, of course, in this. But there are he's got a whole section on the truth behind the stories of various superheroes, you know. what really happened, you know, who Superman really was and who Batman really was.
Wouldn't that make an interesting movie? Or a TV series, or a web series.
Oh, yeah.
We could do a web series. We could do a web series coming January 4th. That would, I wonder if we could do that.
The problem with doing a web series, well, no, okay, there's no problem with it, but we'd have to be careful because while you can get away with it on an article on the website, some of these characters, of course, are still owned by
copyright
DC. Thing. However, if you were to, you could imply very strongly, because the book is Gladiator. Mm-hmm. That was one of the inspirations for Superman.
Right.
And basically the Walt Newton theory is that there actually were two Supermen. One was the Golden Age, one was the Silver Age, and the first one was the person who, when the novel Gladiator was written about him. And that was the inspiration for the Golden Age Superman. So the truth of the story is somewhat different. So, but that's not a thing. I mean, you would have to look at the copyright lies.
Rights and permissions and do that. But that would be so much fun.
But it really is fun. And in a way, it's, you know.
You talk about a crazy fan theory.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that one is probably the.
It's the best of them, though, because it's a game that the fans are playing together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's dozens and dozens of writers who have played in this world and who just think it's something to play. I mean, you know, Alan Moore's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is a linking of various fictional and real characters together mm-hmm. in a world. Mm-hmm.
Well, because he connected John Carter and Randolph Carter mm-hmm. in those books.
But the Walt Newton universe is very much it's kind of the stories behind. It's the stories behind the pop culture stuff. It's like, well, this is what really happened.
Yes.
You know, which back to your fan theory, back to the, you know, it's just like, you know.
So now I want to do that. Now I want to make the Walt Newton history web series.
Yeah, web series.
Kickstarter.
Web series or a radio show.
Well, that would be fun.
Because you got like a full bore, you know.
Oh, yeah, because you could do it like you're in the 1930s mm-hmm. and connect yeah. everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
All right, we've got our new project. Yeah, just add that to the list, right?
It's
just when I wanted to go.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. You know, speculation is a lot of fun. We sometimes it's born out of frustration because you're sitting there going, oh, I didn't like the first two new Star Trek movies, but the third one has got Simon Pegg doing the writing and you know, it doesn't have JJ this might actually be really good. And then you get like a photo of a thing and you're like, oh, what does this mean? And you know, and then Star Wars, you see the Millennium Falcon and Han Solo, and you don't see Luke Skywalker. And you're like, oh, you know. And you see Princess Leia and you know, all these things. And we care about these. We care about these stories. And so we get excited and worked up. And on the other hand.
Yeah. Well, then, because, you know, you could get some theories that just twist everything to the point where it doesn't even. You're like, how in the world did you get from that point to that point?
Well, and, you know, your spoilers, most studios are pretty good about keeping the spoilers to a minimum, right? But the question really becomes, how can anyone be certain of what, you know, unless you get a script, a shooting script, and, you know, your script supervisor notes, you don't know what got shot, you don't know any of this stuff, it's...
Because there's some stuff that you'd think was supposed to be in there,
mm-hmm.
and it actually made it into the script, like the Aladdin reveal, mm-hmm. the genie reveal, sure. But it never actually made it into a film or a TV show, so mm-hmm. it's not part of canon. My pet theory that we've talked about before on a couple of different things, we've talked about it in Rogues Gallery, we've talked about it here. Is the idea that Brandon Routh was supposed to be playing Ted Kord instead of Ray Palmer.
Right.
Uh-huh. That's my fan theory because it fits everything that we've seen in the show up until the point where he says, "Hi, I'm Ray Palmer." It's like, no, you're not. You're Ted Kord.
Did you say Alan Tudyk wants to do the Booster Gold movie?
I saw that.
Did you see he's got? Did you see he's got the casting flipped wrong?
Yeah, you know, because
he should be Booster.
Because Nathan Fillion said he wants to play Booster.
Well, I know they should.
I'm like, that doesn't work.
Let's flip it.
Yeah, make him Ted Kord, and Tudyk can play Booster. Exactly. That's much better.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like
Tudyk even said, if Nathan's in it, I'm in. It didn't even matter what it was. Well, yeah. He's like, no, it's just whatever.
Because Beetle's the funnier one anyway. And everyone knows.
No, Booster is.
No, Booster's funny, but Beetle is much funnier.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Booster to some degree is occasionally the straight man. Not all the time. I mean, he's got it. You know, he's funny as well, but Beetle is. Beetle is the... If you're looking at Justice League International...
See, I never read that one.
Oh, see. I don't...
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So.
Come on, it's got the best Batman punch in the history of Batman punches ever.
One punch. That should be a web short. Somebody should do... You know, they got Batman... You know, Batman Dead End.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
You know, Bat in the Sun should do Batman One Punch. We should do that. We've got enough cosplayers around here. We could do it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Batman,
like that.
One Punch. and the last thing is like, did you see what he did? Yeah, how could he do that? Because I'm Batman. And they go off to a diner, right? Just cause. Because it's all connected.
It's all good. It's all one universe.
Exactly. Okay, so here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna head out now. We're going to leave you with in our article. If those of you who are listening to this on iTunes, we embed this in a post in an article on scififorme.com. So you go to scififorme.com, find the article. We are going to link to the Wold Newton universe, so you can dive into that rabbit hole.
And enjoy it, because it's a fun one.
It's
the best kind of rabbit hole.
And in the meantime, while you're doing that, you can also send us an email, h2o@scififorme.com, and let us know what your favorite crazy fan theory is. And also, for next week, send us questions.
Yeah.
You know, let's do a Stump the Host episode, or, you know, just ask us about stuff, or tell us about stuff. Mm-hmm. You got ideas or thoughts on anything, share those with us. H2O@scififorme.com, our hotline, 573-42-SCIFI. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Google+, Twitter, and Tumblr. And that's it. Yeah, all the latest news over at scififorme.com. Go visit superherostuff.com for
They have very cool
stuff.
Things.
Yes, we just got a box here not too long ago that had some really neat Walking Dead stuff that's going to be part of the Team Zombie set.
That's right. It's already making appearances.
And that's going to do it for us this week. We will be back next week with another episode of H2O. My name is Jason Hunt.
I am Timothy Harvey.
Thanks very much for listening, folks. We'll be back next week.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.